Gaura Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 28, text. They told me 22 and 23 is correct. You did 22? You did 23 also? Yeah, sure. 22, the text is, King Puranjana continued worrying. Sorry. Although King Puranjana should not have lamented over the fate of his wife and children, he nonetheless did so due to his miserly intelligence. In the meantime, Yamanaraj, whose name was Fear itself, immediately drew near to arrest him. You did it? Yes, supposed to be yesterday, but yesterday was Srila Prabhupada's lecture. So we are reading text 22 and 23. So I read first the text 22. Evam kripanaya buddhya sochantam madaharanam grahintum kridadrir hinam bhavyanama vyapadyata. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Although King Puranjana should not have lamented over the fate of his wife and children, nonetheless, this so due to his miserly intelligence. In the meantime, Yamanaraj, whose name was Fear itself, immediately drew near to arrest him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Foolish people do not know that every individual soul is responsible for his own action and reaction in life. As long as a living entity in the form of a child or a boy is innocent, it is the duty of the father and mother to lead him into a proper understanding of the values of life. When a child is grown, it should be left up to him to execute the duty of life properly. The parent, after his death, cannot help his child. A father may leave some estate for his children's immediate help, but he should not be overly absorbed in thoughts of how his family will survive after his death. This is the disease of the conditioned souls. Not only does he commit sinful activity for his own sense gratification, but he accumulates great wealth to leave behind so that his children may also gorgeously arrange for sense gratification. In any case, everyone is afraid of death, and therefore that is called bhaya, or fear. Although King Puranjana was engaged in thinking of his wife and children, death did not wait for him. Death does not wait for any man. It will immediately carry out its duty. Since death must take away the living entity without hesitation, it is the ultimate God realization of the atheists who spoil their lives thinking of country, society, and relatives to the neglect of God consciousness. In this verse, the word hatat aranam is very significant, for it means that one should not be overly engaged in welfare activity for one's family member, countrymen, society, and community. None of those will help a person to advance spiritually. Unfortunately, in the present day society, so-called educated men have no idea what spiritual progress is. Although they have the opportunity in the human form of life to make spiritual progress, they remain misers. They use their life improperly and simply waste them thinking about the material welfare of their relatives, countrymen, society, and so on. One's actual duty is to learn how to conquer death. But Krishna states the process of conquering death in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Janma karma cha me divyam evanjo vetti tattvataha tyakta deha punarjanma naiti mameti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activity does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attain my eternal abode, O Arjuna. after giving up this body, one who is full Krishna conscious does not accept another material body, but return home back to Godhead. Everyone should try to attain this perfection. Unfortunately, instead of doing so, people absorb in total society, friendship, love, and relatives. This Krishna conscious movement, however, is educating people throughout the world and informing them how to conquer death. Harin vina nastritim taranti. One cannot conquer death without taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Text 23, reading from the board. Pasuvam janaya esa. Niyamana swakamshayam. Amvadravan anupata. Sochanto brishamaturaha. Pasuva yavanairesa. Niyamana swakamshayam. Anadranna manupatta. So chanto brishamatudha. Pasuvayana naresa. Niyamana swakamshayam. Anadranna namatupa. So chanto brishamatudha. Pasuva, like an animal, Yavanai, by the Yavanas, Esa, Puranjana, Niyamanaha, being a resident taken away, Swakam, to their own, Kshayam, abode, Anvadravan, followed. Anupata is attendance. So chatanta, lamenting. Brisham, greatly. Aturaha, being distressed. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When the Yavana were taking the king Puranjana away to their place, binding him like an animal, the king followers became greatly aggrieved. While they lamented, they were forced to go along with him. Please repeat. When the Yavana were taking King Puranjan away to their place, binding like an animal, the king followers became greatly aggrieved. While they lamented, they were forced to go along with him. By Srila Prabhupada. When Yamaraj and his assistants take a living entity away to the place of judgment, the life, lifer and desires, being followers of the living entity, also go with him. This is confirmed in the Vedas. When the living entity is taken away or arrested by Yamaraj, Tam Ukramantam, the lifer also go along with him. Prano Nukrapmati. And when the lifer is gone, Pranam Anukramantam, all the senses, Sarva Prana, also go along, Anukramanti. When the living entity and the lifer are gone, the lamp of matter produced of five elements, earth, water, air, fire, and ether, is rejected and left behind. The living entity then goes to the court of judgment, and Yamaraj decides what kind of body is going to get next. This process is unknown to modern scientists. Every living entity is responsible for his activity in this life, and after death, he is taken to the court of Yamaraj, where it is decided what kind of body he will take next. Although the gross material body is left, the living entity and his desire, as well as the resultant reaction of his past activity, go on. It is Yamaraj who decides what kind of body one gets next in accordance with one past action. Om Ajnana Dimirandasya Gyananjana Chalapaya Chakshurum Nidhamme Natasmai Sri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budale Sri Madhijapati Kaswami Nidhamme Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Budale Sri Madhibhakti Vedanta Swami Nidhamme Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pachayane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Vasta Siddhadya Sattarine Pancha Kalpa Kurubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Shri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So before I start to speak on this wonderful text, Srimad Bhagavatam, I request all the Vaishnavas to bless me that I may be able to speak some suitable words. Hare Krishna. So we can see in this text 22, Srila Prabhupada explained how each individual soul is responsible for his own actions. And he explained the system of the children. The children before their certain age, they're like not responsible, like they don't accumulate any karma because they're innocent, because they're ignorant, because they're dependent on their father and mother. So the stress is given here that the mother and father was the first guru, they must instruct the children about understanding the value of life. So this is a very important process which the father and mother play in a child's life. And of course, afterwards, as the child be sent to school, a special type of education is given to the child where the child can understand what is the ultimate goal of life. So the Vedas give ample knowledge about understanding of what is the goal of life. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Now we must inquire about the absolute truth. So, a person who does not inquire about the absolute truth is considered to be like an animal, because the animal cannot inquire about the truth. We can take the monkey, the donkey, and the horses, and the cows, and speak to them nice Bhagavatam, but they cannot understand. Although they get some benefit, maybe. But they cannot really distinguish what is spiritual, what is material, what is matter, what is spirit, what is higher, what is lower, what is the beauty in human life, what are the different type of human beings, what are the different distinction according to the qualification of varnashram, what are the different time in the life of a man. All this is not possible to be understood by an animal. So a human being has a propensity to become self-realized. I want to read from Chaitanya Shikshamrita, some quotes by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he explained about human beings. He said, according to the scripture, every human being has the qualification for performing bhakti. And bhakti is the natural propensity of the soul. All attention should be given to devotional development. Thus, all persons in a four varna ashram are qualified for bhakti. The relationship between the living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact. And therefore, there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. All humans have the right to practice bhakti, but those who follow the regulation of varnashram have a much easier time. It is the nature of the soul to ascend to next higher step, but the ascension should not be prematurely or too quick. Only after being firmly established upon one step, it is possible to ascend to next step. So we can see that human life is designed for achieving love of Godhead. And all living entities, they have the right to perform bhakti, to perform devotional service. It's their right as a human form of life. It's very, very rare. Manushya Durlabham, after 8,400,000 different species of life, will come to become human. So now if we don't utilize this human form of life to realize Krishna, we're wasting our time, we're wasting our life, and again, we do not know what is going to happen next. Of course, as we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see how Yamaraj is being taken away from his body by the Yamadutas. And as you remember, there is a pastime of Ajamil. Ajamil was taken away by the Yamadutas. And at the time, because he chanted the name of Narayan, he was calling his son, Narayan, then immediately the Vishnu Duta came. And the Vishnu Duta stopped, cannot take this person, cannot take his soul. And the Yamadutas, they were perplexed. They said, who are these? Who are these people? They look very effulgent, they have a beautiful form, they were all decorated with helmet, anklets, and beautiful cloth. And they thought this must be some superior being. Because according to their knowledge, Yamaraj was the supreme controller of everything. So when the Vishnu Duta stopped them and refrained them from taking the soul of Ajamil, the Yamaduta went back to Yamaraj with some question. We're quite perplexed. We came to ask you now. We thought you are the supreme. You are the one who are the authority, who decide who is going to get next body, who is going to be punished, who is going to be rewarded. We thought you are God. Yamaraj said, no, I am not God. Krishna, Vishnu, is the Supreme Lord. And in that pastime, Yamaraj instructed the Yamaduta. He said, you should never go near to those people who wear the symbol of Vishnu on their forehead. You should never go near to those who wear a Kunti Mala, Tulsi Mala of the Lord. Tulsi is very dear to the Lord. And you should never go near to anyone who chant and utter the name of the Lord. So this was the instruction given to the Yamadutas. So that, of course, we can understand that the Vaishnava, they don't have to undergo, they don't have to go and see Yamaraj. Because the devotee do wear tilak, do wear Kunti Mala, do chant the holy name of the Lord, and do remember the name of the Lord and his pastimes. So they will go directly back home, back to God. Of course, one should not take advantage of this technology and perform all kind of sinful life and still wear Kunti Mala and tilak and thinking, no problem, I can do anything and then I'll go back to God. This is cheating. Krishna says, of all the cheaters, I am the best cheater. So we should not expect to cheat the Lord because no one can cheat Krishna. Yeah? So our consciousness should be very clear, very sincere, We should dedicate ourselves in study the science of bhakti, the science of devotional service, which can promote us to the ultimate goal of life. So unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada explained, these people, they're wasting their time and accumulating some wealth for their own enjoyment. And then they think, okay, when I die, I will leave all these things to my son, to my grandson, so they can also enjoy life. Yeah? So this is simply a waste of time. This is simply, it's simply, you know, completely misutilizing this human form of life. And unfortunately, these people, in the end of their life, they're going to suffer because they're going to see Yamaraj and the Yamadutas, and they're going to be punished. Because anyone who is not utilizing this human form of life for going to higher step of devotional service, self-realization, is actually neglecting this human body. Therefore, he will be punished with the animal body. And we don't know what type of body people can take, but we can read, we can understand from this sloka that according to their desire and the previous activity a living entity performed, he will cast away his material body, and the senses along with the mind and along with intelligence will be carried on to the next body. And that who is established in the next body? Yamaraj. So they say, okay, you want to enjoy like a hog and dog? Okay, become a hog and dog. Then you will be put in a body of a dog, and then a body of a hog. Okay, yeah, you can enjoy unlimited. And Srila Prabhupada explained this pleasure is the same. It's not that the animal they have less pleasure than human, or human they have greater pleasure than animal. No. In all the species of life, the pleasure is the same. The suffering is the same. It's only the mind. So this mind can be very nicely trained. We can train ourselves to control our mind and to think of Krishna, to meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord by chanting the holy name, by serving the Vaishnavas. Or we can just be rebellious. I don't care. I want to do whatever I want. I want to wake up whenever I want. I don't want to follow anything. Then again we lose the chance and we can become animal. So this is very, very dangerous. And this is very important point for us to understand. Otherwise, we cannot make any progress in spiritual life. So of course, by saying this, we don't mean to say that we must neglect our duty. Many of us here are sitting, they are grihastha. So as a grihastha, we must perform our duty of taking care of our children, taking care of our wife, because the family of Vaishnava are different from materialistic people. So we should not have a misunderstanding. When Srila Prabhupada is talking about all these people, he's talking about the materialistic people. We, as a devotee, we must take care, and we must perform our duty to take nice care and be responsible for our family. Responsible means able to respond. Means any given time, there is a situation which we have to respond to. And to be responsible means take action for that particular situation to make adjustment so that we can take care of everything. So that means responsible. Srila Prabhupada wanted the grihastha to be responsible, not to be responsible. Some people went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas. Why? Oh, I'm having so much trouble with my wife and children. This is nonsense. I say, no, you take care of your wife and children. You take care of your children. You be responsible. Don't be like a monkey jumping. Because after you'll take sannyas, again, you'll fall down. It's not renunciation, like we are reading, no? It's a gradual elevation. We cannot jump from one step to another. We have to go through the process. It's a gradual process. So this gradual process is established by the acharyas, so we can advance slowly and steady in devotional service up to the point of prema. And from that point, you know, we can automatically be detached from everything. Even though we are maybe, as we are taking care of family and children, we can still be detached and be 24-hour tuned in Krishna consciousness. So it's not necessary that we all take sannyas and we leave our family. Some of us can. Those who are fortunate, those the wife give permission. And I was reading the other day about the form for applying for sannyasi. So in that form it's mentioned so many requisitions are there. The wife has to sign, and the elder children should take care of the family. Yeah, of course. In ISKCON, we have to be responsible. So the sannyasi ministry, they have established this, that no one can just jump and run away, leave the family, and take sannyas in the name of Krishna, and neglect his duty. That is bad. It's bad for the society, it's bad for the children, it's bad for the wife, it's a bad example for everybody. So one must go gradually and elevate himself, and alone, since he's with his family, elevate also his children, elevate also his wife. So together, it's a teamwork, everybody gets elevated and go to the next level. So that is Krishna consciousness, and that's how we should proceed. So the other point we understand is about how we are not this body, but just this material body is a temporary vehicle for us to move. There is a very nice personality, which he was born in 1546 in Italy. His name is Giordano Bruno. He was a saintly person, and he was at that time, you know, contemporary, I guess, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was started to study that he was a priest. But at one point he got exposed to the Vedas, and he started to develop great realizations and appreciation for the Vedic scriptures. So he was explaining and preaching about the eternity of the soul, about the earth, the element, and how the Lord is pervading everything. But this type of teaching was against the church. And the Pope, you know, condemning to be burned as an heretic. So he said, okay, you can burn my body, but you cannot burn my soul. He had great realization about the eternity of the soul and the all-pervading Lord. Maybe he didn't know about Krishna, but he had great realization because of his austerity and his study. He wrote many books about astronomy, astrology, and he had great understanding of this planet work. But unfortunately, the people were supposed to be religious. They thought, oh, this is wrong, you know. So, and they decided to punish him, they torture him, and they kill him. And the moment when they were killing him, he said, I think you must be suffering more than me. You give me this judgment to burn my body, but I have no problem with that. I think you will be suffering more than me afterwards. So he had a great realization. So this material body is just a vehicle. Huh? So we must utilize this vehicle for the higher purpose of self-realization. Because when the living entity leaves the body, along with that goes also the subtle senses and the mind and intelligence. This is very important for us to understand. This is the logistic system, how the body works. Many people are ignorant about that, about this. Many people think, oh, you die, everything is finished, you become nothing. It's not like that. You know, every action has a reaction. So everybody who is performing activity must reap the result of his action. So no one can escape the law of nature. And the Srimad Bhagavatam teaches that material nature is so well organized, can reward everybody accordingly, and can punish everybody accordingly. So no one can escape the law of nature, which is set up by Krishna. So we must act in such a way that we can attract the mercy of the Lord. So how to do that? Lord Chaitanya explained that simply by chanting the name of the Lord becomes very, very dear to us, and we become very, very dear to the Lord. So Lord Krishna said that anyone who chants my name, that person has purchased me. I am his slave, I am his servant. So Krishna is very, very dear to those people sincerely make an effort to elevate themselves and try to please Krishna. So we must act in such a way that Krishna become pleased with us. In the Bengali there is a slogan. What is that? If Krishna want to protect you, no one can defeat you. Rake Krishna Mareke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Correct? So, and if Krishna want to kill you, no one can protect you. We see in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was a small boy, 5 years old. And Hiranyakashipu was so powerful, was his father. And Nrisingadev was so angry in the end. Nrisingadev was so angry. No one could stop him. All the demigods that came, and they tried to please the Lord by chanting Purushashutta, by chanting mantra, but the Lord was so furious. At one point they took Lakshmidev, please, you try to pacify the Lord. Lakshmidev said, no, I cannot, I'm scared. And then Brahma thought, okay, Prahlad, it's because of you the Lord disappeared. Because of you, he's so angry. So you please go and pacify the Lord. Prahlad thought, no problem. He was a very innocent child, 5 years old. He said, I am always protected by the Lord. The Lord will not do anything to me. I will go and pacify the Lord. And then Prahlad went. And when Prahlad went in front of Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev said, become cool and peaceful. He takes Prahlad and put him in his lap and he patted him. So we can see even the demigods, the fearful of the Lord. But the pure devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, he's not fearful. He's thinking, no problem. Of course, he's very innocent, but he has deep understanding of Krishna. Krishna appeared from the pillar to protect me. Now Krishna can also become peaceful. No problem. So wonderful, pastimes. So if Krishna is with us, who can be against us? No one. So we must endeavor to give this message. Srila Prabhupada explained in the end of this purport that we must endeavor to preach this Krishna consciousness, to give this message to all the people of this planet. This is our duty. This is our responsibility. See, with knowledge comes responsibility. When you know something, then you have to act. Just like if you are a doctor, you may be in the train or in the airplane, somebody is sick, they'll announce, is there any doctor? If you are a doctor, then you have to step up and say, yes, I'm a doctor. Okay, here is a man. He has some problem. So please do something. So within your knowledge, you can try to cure him, or assist him, or help him in whatever possible way. Maybe you can say, okay, you can give some medicine. Even sometimes there are drastic ways. Some people get, internal bleeding. The doctor took a pen and make a hole into his lungs so that all the blood came out and the person was saved. Otherwise he would be drowning his own blood in his chest. So there are many things that people of knowledge can do. So we have been given this greatest treasure. Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. This is the topmost knowledge. There's nothing beyond this. So we must give this knowledge to everybody. This is our responsibility. We shouldn't think, oh yeah, I'm happy, man, I'm cool, I sit in my Mayapura, chant Hare Krishna, I'll take some Mahaprasadam, I chant my 16 round, what more do I want? Nah, take bath in the Ganges. Cool, man, relax. No, we must preach Krishna consciousness. There are thousands of guests coming here. And some of these guests are complaining. They say, how you feel, sir? Very nice this place, nice room, nice prasadam, nice everything. But very impersonal. No one is talking to me. Of course, it's difficult to talk to 100,000 people which come every day. But you can target some people. Just bump into somebody and say, Hare Krishna, how are you? How are you doing? Where are you from? And people talk to you and then they feel like, wow, these people care for me. You know, they're not just, you know, everybody who come in Mayapur, we should realize, There's not, this is not on a highway where you just stop and say, let's go and take darshan. No, people come here means they want to come here. In the end of this road, there is a river. So you cannot just go straight into anywhere. If you come here means you want to come here for some reason. And whatever reason you have, since you have come here, now it's our duty to enlighten you. So we must all feel responsible. Somebody say, oh no, it's not my job. The book distributors are there, the life member booth is there, the preacher inside the temple, you know, I'm just a cook, or I'm just doing this, I'm doing that, whatever. We're all doing something, but we must all feel the burning pressure of Srila Prabhupada. This is what he told us. We must preach Krishna consciousness. We must deliver this message. And Lord Chaitanya said, whoever you meet, wherever you go, tell them about Krishna. So we must do this together. We can make difference in people's life, because the moment you talk to somebody, the person is connected with Krishna. Don't think it's a small thing. This is very important. That person can connect with Krishna through you. You are the representative of Srila Prabhupada. We are the representative, she said. And we can connect people with Krishna, with Srila Prabhupada, with the parampara. These people will remember all their life. Whenever they go to their work, wherever they are in Barampur, in Durgapur, in Calcutta, wherever they come from, they say, oh, I meet this devotee. He spoke to me so nicely. He told me about Krishna. He told me to chant Hare Krishna. I must chant Hare Krishna. And maybe they buy some book and they read the philosophy and their life can change. You know, one day I met one devotee here in Mayapur. He's from Mysore. Now he's, of course, initiated. He told me, his name is Tulsi Charan, Prabhu. I don't want to glorify myself, no, but he said, you know, Prabhu, I become devotee because of you. I said, what? Why? I don't remember you. I never preached to you. He said, no. You remember in 1984, in 83, you know, you were in Mysore with your Sankirtan party. You were staying in Dharamsala. I said, yeah, I remember. You know, and every morning I take my dog for a walk at that time. And I saw you. And I said, who is this guy? You know, and I follow you. And I went to the Dharamsala where you stay. And I spoke with the Chokidar. They told me, yeah, these people from Mayapur, the Sankirtan, they're distributing books. They have a program tonight in this place. If you want, you can come. Then he came to the program. There was Maharaj, he gave lecture. We did Darinam. We did Kirtan. We were distributing books. So he took a small book, he read it. And his life changed. So, hey man, why you want to give credit to me? You just saw me with your dog. I was nothing. I just went and buy some chira or dahi or something in the shop. But sometimes, you see, what can happen? You know, sometimes we don't realize how important is the presence of the Vaishnavas. So Vaishnava are very, very merciful. Paradukkodukki, the Vaishnavas are always thinking how we can help the conditioned soul. That is the desire of the Vaishnavas. They don't think about themselves so much because they're already, you know, they're already happy. We can see a lot of happy people here, they're all smiling face. So we want to make people more happy. We want to give the happiness to everybody. So Vaishnava Paradakuduki means they're unhappy when they see people suffering and they're happy when they see people happy. And Vaishnava, because they have transcendental vision, transcendental knowledge, they can see these people that are suffering. They're just dedicating their life in some materialistic activity, this puja, that puja, they dress very nicely, they worship Durga Devi, please give me some money, please give me some house, please give me some nice wife, please give me nice children, give me. This is what they're praying to the Durga Devi. But Durga Devi, she has a nice trident. Yeah, come, I'll give you. Adhyatmika, Adhivaidika, Adhidevika, is there waiting for you? So, you know, the suffering is coming. But people that are ignorant, they don't know. So we must enlighten people. Actually, Durga Devi, we also can worship Durga Devi because it's an expansion of Radharani. She is the superintendent of the material world. She's controlling everybody's life. She's controlling the elements. She's controlling the environment. So we see her as a devotee. She's a great servant of the Lord. She will make sure that no one will escape this planet unless he becomes a pure devotee. Unless all our material desire becomes zero, there is no more material desire, then Durga will not release us. So when we start to perform this devotional service, we may have desires. But then as we advance, our desire becomes spiritual desire. We desire to please Krishna. And now we can please Krishna. Lakshmi Sahasra Sada Sambrahma Sevyamanam. Krishna has millions and thousands of Lakshmi. Where are we? Yeah? No way we can please Krishna. But by pleasing the Vaishnavas, by pleasing the Acharya, by pleasing Srila Prabhupada, by following their instruction, we can please Krishna. We can become very dear to the Lord. Huh? So this is our mission in our life. Sometimes as a devotee we get mixed up, we get lost. Oh, I have to make money. Oh, I have to build a house. Oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. Okay, we can do all these things. But we should never lose the focus of our life. Because, you know, it's like when we drive a car. In Italy we have very fast car. You can drive 300 km speed. The road becomes very small. The road is big, you drive, as you increase the speed, the road becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. If you drive 300 km speed, you're really on your nerve, you're really focused. Because something happened, man, you're gonna kill yourself. So it's something like that, you know? It's like we have to really focus our life. It's no joke. We have to become serious. We want to go back home, back to God. We want to take a lot of people with us. We want to instruct everybody. We want to please the spiritual master and Krishna. So let's focus. Yeah, we should not be just like a casual spaced out. No problem. Well, we should not take it for granted. The mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful. The mercy of the Acharya is so powerful. They have empowered us to preach this Krishna consciousness. So we must be going out of our way to preach. And again, preaching. It's not, no, we don't have to do, be a pandit, know so many slogans. We just have to be nice Vaishnavas. Who are the Vaishnava? What is the first quality of the Vaishnava? Srila Prabhupada asked. He is a gentleman. What is a gentleman? Let's analyze. A gentleman is a person who cares about other people. He's not selfish. He's not thinking only for himself. He's thinking about the benefit of other people. And he's grateful. He's grateful that Krishna has given this blessing to him. He's grateful to be part of the Vaishnava Association. He's grateful in participating in this movement, which is a preaching movement. So this Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. We shouldn't take it for granted. We should take it very serious. We should have very serious understanding. We should have very serious focus mentality. Every moment, every day of our life, we can dedicate it to please Krishna. We can do it. No one can stop us. We cannot blame, oh, this guy, that guy, that guy. No, nothing. We are free to do whatever we want to do. Yeah? So we must focus in understanding what we're doing here. We must focus in pleasing the Lord, pleasing Krishna, and trying to please the Acharya. Because by their blessing, we can become very, very well established. And in the end of this life, we can go back home, back to God. So there is a very nice story, short story I will tell about pleasing the Guru and Krishna. This is the story of Jamunacharya. I don't know if I told before. But Jamunacharya was a small boy. And when his guru left for pilgrimage, he left another devotee in charge of the ashram. And there were many children. Jamunacharya at the time, he was 8 years old. And after a few days, a disciple of the Kula Guru, of the king's guru, came. And he asked, "Where is in charge of this ashram?" at the time the in charge went to purchase vegetable. So Jamunacharya was a small kid. He said, yeah, how can we help you, Prabhu? Tell us, what can we do for you? He said, where is your guru? He said, our guru is gone in pilgrimage. He will come back after a few months. He said, you must pay the tax to my guru, because otherwise my guru will throw you out of this country. Do you know who is my guru? He's the Kula guru. He's the king's guru. He has defeated your guru, therefore pay the tax. This guy was, wait a minute, relax. Why are you so angry, you know? Why are you so agitated? Relax, you'll come back and pay the tax. No, we want right now. You have to pay, otherwise this, that. He's telling something. And then Jamunacharya felt very strange, you know. He said, you know what? I can tell you, your guru is a bogus guru. And the guy shocked. He stopped. He said, what do you mean? He said, any guru will teach his disciple to behave like you're behaving, he must be bogus. And this guy is shocked. And you know what I can tell you? You tell your guru that I'll come there and defeat him in a debate. And this guy was like, what? You are 8 years old. And my guru already defeated your guru. Now you want to defeat my guru? What is this? He just left. Very angry mood, you know, cursing everybody. So he went back. And in front of the guru and the queen and the king, he told the story. And the king and the queen, they just laughed. They said, it's okay, you know. That's a small kid, you know, you became angry, you know, it's not a big thing. He said, no, my dear king, he was very serious. He wanted really to defeat our guru. How is it possible? Then the king said, okay, look, to satisfy you, I will send my minister to find out. But I'm telling you, this is a small kid, small thing, forget about it. Carry on. So then the king sent the minister. Minister went there with, you know, his associate. They went and find out in the ashram, find out Jamunacharya. They ask him, so my dear child, what happened? He said, this is nonsense, you know, why this guy so puffed up? What's his problem? How is guru can teach some disciple to be so puffed up? This is not bona fide, this is not part of it. He gives so many arguments. So in the end the minister asks, okay, what about you want to defeat him in a debate? Is that what you want? He said, yes, I will defeat him in a debate. He said, come on, you know, your guru already been defeated by our guru. He said, it doesn't matter. This guru is bogus, I can tell. You cannot be a guru, somebody so puffed up. He said, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. And he said, not only that, you tell the king to send the palanquin, the elephant, the band, everybody. So I will come there, you fix the date, I will defeat this guru. All right. Are you sure? Yes, I'm sure. He said, okay. We'll arrange, no problem. So by the time everybody came to know about this, at the time there was no internet, no television. So, you know, there was not so much entertainment. The festival was entertainment. Debate was something entertaining. So they prepared a beautiful, you know, place, pandal, for this occasion to be taking place. So meanwhile, the guru came back. And the guru came to know about this. He told Jamunacharya, what happened? He said, you know, this Guru Maharaj, this guru is very puffed up. Nobody likes him. And how can he train the disciple to be so puffed up? You please give me your blessing that I will defeat him. And the guru said, okay, you are my blessing. But how are you going to defeat him? He said, the mercy of the Lord is there. Your mercy is there. He took dust from his feet and he said, no problem. You want to continue to hear the story or shall I stop here? So then the day came, the elephant came, the procession, the palanquin, the band, the festoons. And they took Jamunacharya, they put him on the elephant, you know, with an umbrella. Big festival is going. So it's going on with the band and all the people, all the brahmanas, they give blessing to this child. They say, blessing, blessing, because nobody really liked this Kula guru. He was so puffed up. So everybody blessed the child. So he came there and he told. So when Jamunacharya reached, first of all, he went to pay obeisance to the king, to the queen, and then he paid obeisance to the guru, and then he was given the seat. He sat down in front of the king, queen. Meanwhile, before this, you know, the day before this debate, the queen had an argument with the king.
The queen is telling, you know, I feel in my heart one thing I want to tell you. I feel like this child is going to defeat your guru. And the king is telling, come on, you must be joking. This king, this guru, he has defeated all the guru of my country. Everyone, single them. He cannot be defeated. He has such a tremendous knowledge. He said, the queen said, look, I don't know, what can I say? I feel in my heart that this king is a special, this child is a special child. And sure, I feel sure, 100%, he's going to defeat your guru. And they're going on and on and on, they're discussing. At one point the king said, okay, look, let's make a bet, okay? If your child defeat my guru, what you want to do? He's saying, well, I don't know, but if your guru defeat this child, I'm going to become the maidservant of your guru for 6 months. Well, the king said, wow, this is far out. Never heard the princess, the queen, she's going to be the maidservant of my guru. And then the queen, she said, okay, so what if this child defeat your guru? What you going to do? He said, you know what? I'll give him 50% of my kingdom. I'll give it to him. So they said, okay, done. Let's see what happened. So then they went to sleep. So the next morning when they came, these all things happened. There's a big thousands of people. They're, oh, wow, what's going on? What's going to happen? Everybody's anticipating. So the child is sitting there, and the guru starts to ask questions to the child. Grammatical question. So he asks so many questions. And he answers everything, all the questions nicely. Then at one point the child, Jamunacharya, said, I think, if I'm not wrong, you should have a debate with a buffalo. He said, what? How can you say that? Yeah, because you think I'm this body, I'm a small kid. The buffalo is very big. So, bigger than you, then he may be defeating you. So he got really offended, you know. He said, what is this nonsense? You know, how can you say that? He started to lose his temper, you know. So, he said, ask me more pertinent questions, more difficult questions. So he asked from Shastra, this Advaita, that Veda, this Upanishad, that Upanishad. He answered everything. So in the end, it's coming his time. He said, okay, I will ask you 3 questions. And you have to defeat this question. So whatever I'm saying, you have to prove the opposite. He said, okay, go ahead. He said, the queen is chaste. Now he has to prove that the queen is unchaste. He said, the king is pious. I said, oh my God. And then he said, your mother is barren. Means cannot tell children. This is strange, you know, because he's born from his mother. So this guru becomes so angry, said, this is nonsense. What are you trying to do? You cannot answer yourself those questions. I should cut off your head. You're such a, you know, indolent child. It's such a nonsense. So he said, no, I can't defeat my own questions. He said, if you cannot do, I will put you to death. I will cut off your own neck. He said, okay, no problem. He said, the king is pious, so he has to prove the king is not pious. So he said, according to the Vedas, the king has to take 1/6 of the karma of all his citizens. And within this kingdom, there must be somebody who is doing something wrong. Therefore, we can say the king is not pious, because in the end of his life, he has to take also the karma of these people. This is correct? Everybody, Then he said, the queen, she's chaste. He said, well, according to the Vedas, when the queen she's married to the king is also representative of the major demigods, Indra, Varuna, his name all the. Therefore, we can say that the queen, she is not married just to the king, but she's also married to the demigods. Everybody went crazy. Ah, jumping up and down, and this guru don't know what to say, you know. And then he say, okay, according to the Manusamhita, a woman who has given birth to only one child, she is considered barren. Do you have any brother and sister? He said, no. So you're defeated. Everybody went berserk, the old panda went, almost fall down, you know, everybody was crazy, jumping up and down. And the queen takes this child, put it on her lap, and patting on his head, he say, Alavandar, Alavandar. Alawander in Tamil means very wonderful child. So that was one name of Jamunacharya, Alawander. Then the king stood up and said, okay, my dear child, you defeated my guru. He wanted to kill you. Now, do you want to kill him? Everybody froze, like, whoa, what's going to happen next? Suspense. Jamunacharya said, no. See, he should become humble. Send him for 6 months to wash the pot in your kitchen. That will make him humble. And everybody went crazy again. And this guru, he became very small. Like, and then he announced, okay, I have given my word to the queen that I will give 50% of my kingdom. From today, 50% of my kingdom belongs to you. So then he gave half of the kingdom with his army, with the villages, with everything to Jamunacharya. And then Jamunacharya, even though he was a child, he had such a tremendous knowledge that he defeated many other kingdoms and he expanded his kingdom. But he was very righteous, everybody loved him. He grew up, he became a king, he had many queens. And, you know, life goes on, he was managing his things very nicely. So the guru, before passing away, he told one of his disciples, see, I have a desire in my heart, unfulfilled desire. So he said, Gurudev, tell me, how can I serve you? Your desire is my desire. He said, you know this king, Jamunacharya, he became a king, he has forgotten about spiritual life because of his kingly duty. So you must go and retrieve him, bring him back to spiritual life. Then Brahmachari said, okay, no problem, I will try my best, your instruction. So he went by walk to the kingdom. He reached there, and when he's trying to enter the palace of the king, the guard stopped him. Where are you going? He said, you know, I'm a friend of the king. You know, we were together in a gurgul. Yes, right. Get lost. They did not allow him to go and see the king. You know, he tried so many days, this way, that gate, but he has such a strong fortress and strong guard system that he was impenetrable. He couldn't go and see the king. So he devised a plan. So every day he went to the field and he collected one shak. It's called Brahmi shak. Here it's also available. It's a little bitter. Sometimes they sell it in the market. It is very good to develop spiritual intelligence. It's also in the medicinal. It's available. It's called Brahmi rasayan something. So by taking this medicine, once mind and consciousness, or, you know, the brain becomes spiritually activated. So every day he collected so much shak, he went to the kitchen and gave it to the cook. He told the cook, you know, the king liked very much this shak. Please cook it and give it to him. So for many months, 3 months, he was giving the shak every day. And the king is enjoying. Then one day, he doesn't go and give the shak. So the king is telling, hey, where is my shak? Every day I'm eating shak. I like the shak. I like the spinach. Why is not there in my plate? Oh, I'll find out. They went to the cook. They asked, where is the shark? The king is asking. He's eating every day. He's not there. Why? Say, well, I don't know. There is one sadhu, one brahmachari. He comes and brings it. The minister is asking, do you pay him? He said, no, he doesn't take any money. He likes the king. Oh, really? This is strange. So he went and reported the king. He told him, no, this brahmachari is not taking money, he's coming with the shark every day, but today he didn't come. And the king said, you know, find out, maybe he's sick or something happened to him, and why he's not paid, I want to see this person. Then, after a few days, the brahmachari came back with the shark, he gave it to the cook catch him. Hey, wait a minute, don't go anywhere, the king wants to see you. He said, oh, really? He was very happy. So he went to the king, Jamunacharya, said, oh, please sit down, you know. And then he told him, you remember, we were in the ashram together, you know, many, many years ago, and our guru, you know, our guru left a treasure for you. He said, really? Yes, he wants you to retrieve this treasure. He said, no problem, I'll call my guard, I'll call my army, they'll come with you and retrieve. He said, no. We have to follow the instruction of the guru. The guru said that we must go alone, me and you, without army, without anybody, without horses also. We have to go by walk. The king said, okay, no problem. Why not? Let's go and get the treasure. I like adventure. He was very confident. So then they left on this journey. The king left everybody, the queen, everybody, put somebody in charge, the minister, give instructions. Hey, I'll come back in 15 days, no problem, just manage everything, you know, whatever time. He was very expert. So then they walk, and every day as they walk, this brahmachari, he has a Bhagavad Gita, he's reading every night, every morning, he's chanting sloka. And slowly, you know, Jamunachari is reviving, he's remembering about his spiritual life, the words of Krishna. They went deep into his heart. And then he started to think, you know, why am I wearing this king's cloth? He started to throw away all the cloth, he wears simple cloth. So walking, finally they came to Sri Rangam, beautiful temple. So then they went to the beautiful deities of Ranganath, and the brahmachari say, okay, this is the treasure that our Gurudev has left for you. He wants you to worship this deity. And Ranganath is very beautiful there. I don't know how many of you have been in the temple. It's a very beautiful temple. And then the king say, okay, if this is the desire of our Gurudev, is the desire of the Lord, must be accomplished. So he remained there and worshiped Sri Ranganatha Swami for many, many years. He established the system of worship. He established the system of everything, everything should be run. It's a very big temple. There are 10 concentric walls where all the devotee lives. There are many pujas going on and cooking prasadam. So then from the day he remained there. That's the story of Jamunacharya. So by the blessing of his guru, he could defeat, you know, this other guru. So the time is up. I think we will close here. If there is any burning issue or questions, apart from the telephone, which is ringing. Any question is there? Hare Krishna, yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, microphone.
You gave comparison with this doctor, that they have certain duties, not if there is some accident or something.
Yes.
And also, I think it's like that if they don't perform their duties and later on it's found out that there was some doctor, they can get punished. No?
Correct.
Can you maybe explain how the devotee is?
Yeah, the devotee should be always eager to... you know, in our course of life, we meet so many people. You know, whether we go in the train, in a car, we meet people in the shop. So the best is always to carry some small book with us and some prasadam. So we meet some people that they start to relate to us. You know, maybe some people that just want money, exchange money, okay, buy the things, go. But some people ask, oh, where are you from? How are you doing? Oh, I'm from Mayapur. Then you take a book, you can give to him, or you can give some prasadam. This will establish a relationship with people, will inspire people to become more spiritually inclined. So our duty is to distribute this knowledge. And of course, in the middle of Calcutta city, it's very difficult to get people's attention for more than a few minutes. So the best way is to carry some book and say, please buy this book, 10 rupees, you know. You read it when you go home. And so you can actually... People in India are very pious already by themselves. So they know what is the truth. But due to family obligation and responsibility, you know, many of them, they are life members. Many of them, they come to Mayapur. So everybody has spiritual interest. In the heart. Srila Prabhupada say Indian people, they are like, you know, if you scratch a little bit, devotion is there. So it's not like we have to start from giving up meat, fish, eggs. Some people they do, but many people they are also pious. They already follow some principle, they already follow some religious things, and they are already spiritually inclined. They maybe have some misconception, you know, either Mayavadi inclined, Karma Kandi. An expert doctor should be able to understand what level these people they are. So if we are able to speak to them, that we can understand what level they are, we can take them to the next level. So that is the experienced preacher, a doctor who knows how to give the medicine to the patient accordingly to his disease. So similarly, an expert preacher is able to establish what level this person is and how to take him to the next level. Sometimes you just invite people to Mayapur, and once they come to Mayapur, you know, Krishna from inside the heart will reveal to them, connect with other people. So But our desire should be always to help people. Always, how can this soul can be upgraded?
Ask that the doctor, he can also lose the license sometimes.
Yeah, so we should... I'll be losing
also something if you are not preaching to people?
Yes, I think so. You know, everything is preaching. You know, preaching is not just speaking. Preaching means the way you dress, means the way you behave. You know, in whatever service you're doing, you know, maybe the pujari is not preaching, but that beautiful decoration of the deity speaks by itself. It's very attractive. The Mataji who makes the garland, maybe she's not a preacher, but she's making such a beautiful garland, then when you see it on the deity, you go, wow, who has done such a beautiful garland? So everything is to please Krishna. That's preaching, you know? It's not just speaking, you know, we can give lectures, some people can give lectures, some people cannot, whatever. I'm not so expert, but I'm trying. I think there is some more question in the beyond. Does this answer your question? Thanks. Yes, Prabhupada. You have to put on the mic, otherwise you cannot hear. Below.
Harishabhu, very thankful to you, you are giving sweet full lecture. So my question is, so knowingly or unknowingly, we sometimes disturb to others. So how come, how to come out of that mistake?
What type of disturbance? Snoring in the night? I don't know. See, we should not disturb any living entity. You know, that is our principle. So the Vaishnavas, they are living in such harmonious way, not only with humans, but even amongst animal species and other living entities. So we don't want to agitate or disturb anybody. So one should know, this is a science of relating. And this is called Sambandha, Sambandha Gyan. Sambandha means understanding how to relate with people, how to relate with Mother Nature, with the Earth, how to relate with the demigods, how to relate with Krishna. So everything is based on relationship. See, when we go and preach in Kolkata or in India, sometimes people want to give donation. They say, okay, I'll give you donation, but I have also a friend of mine who will give you donation. You pick up the phone, hey, you know, I'm sending to you this, Mr. Das, you know, they're from Mayapur, you please give 20,000 rupees. Donation, you know, because they're very nice people. Then you go there and they give you donation, you know. Well, just because this person said. Why? This person has a relationship with that person. That person trusts this person so much that whatever he says, he will do. So this is relation. Sometimes you can buy things in the market, you know, you can buy 10 lakh rupees of material and say, okay, I will pay you later. But people, they know you, they trust you. They know you are not running away with the goods, so they give you the goods. So everything is based on relationship. So and a Vaishnava is learning how to relate with everybody accordingly. So we can learn this, it's a great science, you know, how to relate. So we shouldn't disturb anybody. But of course, if you go and preach, sometimes people say, hey, don't disturb me, you know, I'm not interested in this knowledge. Okay, leave him alone. There's so many other thousands of people, you know. Well, it's like when you go in book distribution, you think, this shop I will go, this shop doesn't look good, this other... If you go like this, you'll never preach. You should just go all the shops. Just go shop to shop to shop to shop. Somebody will buy the books. Somebody will accept, somebody will give you sweet, somebody will kick you out. Hey, man, we are humble. Trinada Vishnichana, Darura Vishnichana, Amanina, Manadina, Kirtaniya, Sadari. We're doing this as a postman. We are not ego-inflamed personality. Oh, you don't know who I am? You know, I am black belt karate, a punch of fist. No, it's not like that. You know? So we are the servants, so we go and we preach to everybody. Somebody not interested, okay, leave him alone. He's a demon or he's not interested. He's not ready. Even to these people, we can give prashana. We say, okay, sir, please take some prashana. If they take, next time you go, then they will take the book, you know. So we have to know how to relate with everybody. Does this answer your question? One second. So we shouldn't disturb anybody.
For outside people, but inside devotees.
Why you want to disturb
Vaishnava?
Who is disturbing you? The guy who wake you up in the morning for going to Mangalarti? Hey, don't disturb me. Let me sleep in Maya, you know. I will come. No problem. I'm just now coming. So that's not disturbing you. The temple commander called you to go to Mangalarti. No, tell me, give me one example to understand. Okay, you pass. No problem.
What is the name of that saint or that that heretic? Bruno, what was his first name?
Giordano Bruno.
Giordano Bruno.
Yeah, you can check on Wikipedia. It's there. His life is
there. Wikipedia.
Very interesting.
And another comment. Someone told me once, a gentleman is someone for whom no one is put into distress.
Yes, correct. Yeah. So, Prabhuji, you heard what Prabhu said? He said, gentleman is a person who never put anybody else in distress. So let us become a gentleman. Any other questions there for who to say something? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki!